Welcome to Loco, a weekly conversation celebrating the stories of unconventional yet phenomenal single women expats. Today, I speak with Michelle Pickering. We talk about how homeopathy led her to the Nile. Thanks, Michelle, for joining me today. I really appreciate you showing up.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, so Michelle, tell me a bit about who you are, where you're from. Introduce yourself.
So I'm Michelle Pickering, and I'm a homeopath. I live and work in Uganda currently. I'm from the U.S. The U.S. is where I've called home for about 30 years, but originally I'm from Jamaica. So I'm, you know, kind of in a little circuitous way, I've made my way to Africa. I'm a homeopath, and I've been practicing, you know, homeopathy here in Uganda for about 2 years, but in Tanzania for 4.5 years before that. So I've been here for a little while on the continent.
Okay. You're from Jamaica. You moved to Africa from the U.S. Would you like to tell me a bit about how you arrived from Jamaica to the U.S. and then to Tanzania? What inspired your move?
Coming from Jamaica, I was a child. So, that was totally inspired and thought out by my mom. We moved there when I was about 12 years old. Then I grew up in New York, actually, and then came to Tanzania about 6.5 years ago. There was a group there that was doing homeopathy, and I went to volunteer with them. And while I was there, I just thought, you know, wow, this is, I mean, the country was beautiful itself, but the work was just amazing. And I thought I wanted to come back and continue doing more of this. So I went back the following year for 7 months, then went back the year, so that was in 2012, went back 2013 for 8 months, and then just kind of stayed. That's how I ended up in Tanzania the first time, was just to volunteer for 6 weeks. And, you know, 6.5 years later, I'm still here.
How did you make the hop to Uganda?
It was kind of funny. I'd been in Tanzania for about 4 years. And just my last year when I was there, my work visa was running out. And I was kind of thinking, you know, all right, I got to start the process again soon. But at the same time, they were having a change in government and a new president was coming in. And after he came in, he decided that he didn't want any, he was not going to renew the foreigners' work permits. And so I had to kind of figure out what to do. So I stayed in Tanzania for about 6 or so months, kicking around without work permit, trying to get the work permit, not happening. And I was just so stressed out. I was like, you know what? I need to go and just have a quick holiday. And I came to Uganda. And while I was here, within the first week, I was like, all right, I'm about to move to this country right now. And I just got an apartment and went back. And within a week, packed up from Tanzania and hopped over to Uganda. And it's really been a really good decision. It was a very quick, impulsive decision, but it's really been a good decision. And I love it here.
Okay, so let me just backtrack for a minute. What visa were you on when you went to Tanzania?
When I went to Tanzania, I was there on an NGO work permit. And it's the same thing that I'm on here in Uganda. So I started the NGO here. And, you know, I've been working through the NGO since. So I had to take care of all my work permits and all that stuff on my own.
Right. So it's your personal NGO?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. That's great. I really wanted to get into that. So what's the process like for acquiring the visa as a nonprofit?
Man, it's a long process. It's one that you really have to exercise patience. And if you don't have patience, it will teach you patience. You know, first we have to go to what's called the LCs. They're the local chairmen. And you go and, you know, you let them know what it is that you're doing here. And then they write recommendation letters for you being in their districts. And through that process, then you have to go and meet the mayor of the district, who will then also write a recommendation for you. It's a lot of paperwork to fill out and a lot of back and forth and a lot of running around. It took me about 3 months to complete all the paperwork, not to get the work visa, but just to complete the paperwork to get the visa. So it was a lot of footwork and a lot of finding out things and a lot of knowing, you know, finding out who to talk to and then, you know, having to have that back and forth chat. So it's a long process. Like I said, it's a process that teaches you patience. And if you don't have patience, it gives you that patience.
Would you say that they're more receptive to, say, nonprofits than for-profit businesses?
Nonprofit has its own appeal.
Okay.
Let's say. I mean, as does the for-profit. The for-profit, I think in Uganda, you have to put in, I think it's like $10,000 into the, you know, as some kind of savings into the economy before you're even able to start applying for the work visa if it's a for-profit, where with the nonprofit, I didn't have to do that. But there was so much work that I wanted to do within the community itself that I thought that it was best for me to set up as a nonprofit.
Right. And can we just go over a bit of financials, not your personal financials, but what they sort of expect in terms of how you can support yourself, et cetera, et cetera?
I was never really asked how I would be able to support myself. That was never a question that came up. I know, like, you know, people come to the U.S., that is one of the difficult questions that they get asked, but that was never a question for me here. Much more, it was just, you know, what were my plans in the community and how I was going to be able to carry those out. For the work permit, there were several times that, you know, there were small payments that had to be made, equivalent of between about $15 and $30 US. As I was going through the process, there were small payments like that had to be made on several occasions. But then there was the NGO permit itself, which was about $500, I think. And then my work visa, which was $250 each year that I wanted to apply for.
So they take for granted that you'll have enough to support yourself, and they don't say, well, you need to have about $2,000 a month in order to even apply.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
They just take for granted that you'll be able to support yourself.
Wow, that's great. That's
that is great, because had they asked me, you know, how much money was in the bank, that would have really been, yeah, that wouldn't have been a good question. So
That's okay. You're doing great work for the community, and that's all that matters, really. But, you know, for the purpose of the show, I always like to get some sort of idea, because if someone's listening, you know, they sort of have a guide, a loose guide at least.
Yeah, I know, like the first few months that I was here, so I would buy like 3 month visas, which was, they were like $100 each. The thing is, when you're in a foreign country, every 3 months you have to leave. I don't know if that's like just everywhere, but I know here in Uganda and in Tanzania as well, until I got my work permit, every 3 months I was required to leave. Even though in Tanzania I had a 1 year visa, I still had to leave like every 3 months.
Oh, wow. Well, that is a bit different, because once you have your visa, say in a European country, that's it. You don't have to leave once you have the visa. Now, prior to getting the visa, yes, the way we reciprocate with, say, Europe, we get 90 days, or even, hey, we get 6 months. But once you have the visa, it's okay. And so with your work visa, is that the equivalent of a residency, or how does the residency work?
Yeah, so my work visa gives me residency. It gives me residency for 3 years here. So I wasn't sure if I was going to be here for the full 3 years, or, you know, now that I'm here, though, I'll be staying longer. So I'll definitely have to start the process again for a new work permit. But, you know, this was the work permit. Well, the work permit itself now gives me the right to stay in country for the 3 years nonstop. You know, I don't have to.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I don't have to leave every 3 months as I used to before.
When working towards citizenship, is that something that you've considered, or do you know how that works?
I'm not yet sure how that works. I haven't really investigated it. And I don't know, in Uganda, you can only have dual citizenship. So, you know, I'm a natural born citizen of Jamaica, and then I have my citizenship through the U.S. And I can't give up my Jamaican citizenship. So the choice that would be left to me would be my U.S. citizenship. And that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Oh, so it's a mandate that you can only have up to two.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So unless I choose to give up my American citizenship, then I can't apply for the one here in Uganda.
Right. And okay, so notwithstanding, we know that's not likely at this point, but in terms of being in Uganda, does it feel like a place that you'd actually ever consider having citizenship?
That's an interesting question, actually. I don't know yet.
Well, that's my job. You know, that's what I do. That's the interesting question.
Well, you know, it's funny because, yeah, I mean, I know I'll stay on the African continent. Where exactly? I don't know if I'm very sure yet.
Okay.
Different countries have so much appeal. I've traveled to 7 different countries here on the continent already. And there's such a draw to each of them and such an appeal, you know, that, you know, and even if it's a country that's just right next door. Tanzania is so different from Uganda. Uganda is so different from Rwanda. And they are bordering countries. So each country has its own appeal. And I know that I will settle here, but I don't know where here.
Right.
Exactly I'll settle yet.
That sort of segues into the aspect of home. And I think, you know, the show is more about women who've been drawn to a place that resonates as home. Would you say, well, you wouldn't say it at this point because of the reasons you've just given, but Africa's home for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As a continent, Africa is home for me.
Okay. And you see this as the place where you will eventually settle and sort of make it more home.
Yes.
Okay, great. Let's talk about the work that you're doing there. Tell me about your business.
The name of the company is Zuri Homeopathics. We make homeopathic or natural medicine for tropical diseases. So we make medicines for typhoid, malaria, parasites. We have stuff that is good for ulcers, although you don't really think of ulcer as a tropical disease. But a lot of people who are here suffer from ulcers. And a lot of older people also suffer from aches and pains from working out in the gardens, out in the fields, because everybody here has a little farm of their own. And then we also make stuff for anemia. That's basically what we do here, is we make medicines for tropical diseases and I guess, and other things. We were branching into other things.
So tell me, how did you come to homeopathy?
My journey with homeopathy started about 22 years ago. My daughter is 22. And, you know, we used to live in North Carolina, and I had a friend who was from Germany, and she was always telling me about homeopathy. And I kept saying to myself, no way, I'm not doing that. That just sounds like witchcraft. You know, I had no idea. I had no idea what it was or how it worked or anything like that. But, you know, my whole demeanor was, you know, this is witchcraft. I'm not doing that. And then one day, my daughter, you know, at the time, she's my second child. So, you know, I had a son and a daughter. But we were in the pool, and she was tiny, still teething, and chewing on his way back biscuit. And I guess the water from the pool, you know, she was also ingesting that. We got home, and she started throwing up like clockwork every 20 minutes. I called my friend up, and I was like, you know, what do I do? She says, you know, there's that homeopath I've been telling you about. I was like, okay, give me his number.
Right. Okay.
So I called up the homeopath and he says, you know, okay, fine, bring her in. I brought her in. He put a couple of little white pellets in her mouth and she stopped throwing up. 20 minutes went by, nothing happened. Another hour went by and I called my husband and said, hey, you want to go shopping? Let's meet at the mall. That was my first introduction. And you know, it got me really curious. And then I started reading more about it and then started studying, then actually went to school. I went to the School of Homeopathy in New York, in New York City, studied for 4 years. And yeah, after I was done, A few years, I was finished in 2007. And then in 2011 is when I went for this volunteer program.
Okay.
So that was kind of my roundabout way into homeopathy. Yeah, it was all through my daughter.
You know, anything for the babies, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so let's get into what's happening in Uganda. What city are you residing?
I'm in Kampala, so I'm in the capital city. Yeah, so it's really nice here. There's a lot of stuff happening. So, you know, that's really cool for me.
So can we get into some of your favorites about the city?
Yeah, sure.
What's a favorite place that you like to get breakfast or brunch?
So there are a couple of places. One, there's a Mexican place here, which is really interesting.
Wait a minute. I know you were not expecting that.
So in the middle of Uganda, there's a Mexican place that's owned by an Australian.
Whoa.
So it really makes everybody laugh when I say that. But yeah, it's a really cool place to hang out. And if it's like one of those days when I want, like, you know, a lot of expat company, that's where you can find it. There is also a lot of local people as well that hang out there. It's a really great hangout spot. The next place that I really like to eat is another place. It's called Liquid Silk, and they serve local foods there. And so that's like a really, you know, favorite of mine. Really, really yummy food. And they're located in the Bugalobi Mall, right upstairs. You have this fantastic local restaurant.
Is that where you go for casual dining? Is that like a cafe or?
It's a casual dining place.
Okay. Are you a coffee or a tea girl?
I do tea. I only do tea.
Do you have a favorite tea?
Yeah, the Cafe Seri, that's also, you know, like a good place to find a lot of expats to kind of hang out. Mesa, which is Lebanese food, is also a really good place to kind of sit down and have coffee. And there's so many little Ethiopian places around where if you want to have coffee, the coffee is just really good. And, you know, from accounts from my friends, African tea is my favorite. It's like a spice masala tea.
Okay.
You know, so that's actually one of my favorite teas here.
Do you have a favorite place to people watch?
Yeah, Cafe Seri is actually the best place to people watch here. So my best place to go is to sit there and just kind of watch what's happening. And it's such a busy strip. There's always a lot to see. I mean, as far as cafes go, there's a little park in the middle of downtown. I don't know if it actually has a name. But all the buses, that's where they pull up, you know, the taxis for moving. And taxis here are like these little minivans, like 14-seaters. And so if you just kind of want to have a day of just mellow out and people watch, that's really the place to just go and a chance to see the hustle and bustle of Kampala. You know, you get to see like what this city is all about. And it's just right in the middle of downtown.
Do you have a favorite place for upscale dining?
For upscale dining, Cafe Seri is the place to be. There's a Belgium spot that I really like to go to. And the food there is absolutely, it's wonderful. There's tamarai if you want Thai food. There's Mediterraneo for Italian food, miso for Japanese food. So what's really interesting is that Kampala has like such an conglomerate of people. These different restaurants that really cater to most taste.
Do you have a favorite bakery or a dessert shop?
Oh, don't ask about those things.
I have to.
I know. Patisserie has the best ice cream. It's gelato. It's like one of the best. And Cafe Java, I love cake. Cake is like it's my downfall.
No. Listen, this is what I say. I tell people that chips are my religion. Like, I love chips. So cake is your religion, right?
My religion, yes. And the best slice of lemon cake is at Cafe Java's. I go there sometimes. I run in, I buy lemon cake, and I run out. It's so good.
Okay. Do you have a favorite wine bar or for cocktails?
I have friends that I hang out with pretty regularly, and we really just bar hop. We don't really have a favorite place to kind of sit and drink wine. There's Olives, the Italian restaurant. They serve nice cocktails and pretty good wine as well. So we're basically all over town. We're drinkers all over town. We don't listen to me.
We're okay, let me follow that with, let me get into your business a bit. So where's your favorite dive bar or drunk food place?
Let's see. So for the bar, we have like a couple of them. Casablanca is good. It's like bar and nightclub. Like, yeah, bars are usually attached to nightclubs. So for bar and nightclub, Casablanca, there's Big Mike's, and there's another one here, an Irish pub. What's the name of it? O'Leary. Those are like places where you can kind of go and hang out the whole night and dance and drink and just have a good time. The Wave is another one as well.
What about drunk food after you're done?
Do I ever get that drunk? Yes, I do.
I wasn't getting in your business. I was not getting in your business.
Actually, what's really nice is that the bars also serve food. So normally as we're drinking, we're eating, but sometimes they're like little local spots. You know, pork is like a big thing here in Uganda. Pork and this kind of smashed bananas, they call it matoke. So after we're done drinking and hanging out, you know, going to the, and these are like little hole in the walls places, you know? Right. But like, the food there is normally like really good and, you know, the kind of stuff that you want to eat. You know, I don't even know the names of them. We just know where to find them. I don't even know if they have names.
Listen, get the names for me later, right? Get the names, because, you know, inquiring minds want to know, and we have to let the people know.
Like, there's this place that I go to, like, sometimes, you know, like, whenever I decide to cook pork. I'm not a big meat eater, but like if I decide, okay, you know, I'm going to have pork, which is like maybe every 6 months, there's a place that I go to and it's a butcher shop, but like after hours, it's no longer a butcher shop. They're actually cooking up and, you know, it doesn't actually have a name, you know, but people just know to go there.
Okay. So anyone listening, you know, be in touch with Michelle at Zuri. Yes. And she'll point you in the direction.
Exactly. Like, it's so funny because, you know, places here, I'm sure they have names to the locals that live here, you know, and it's just maybe a direction, you know, go down here and turn at this place and, you know, you're right there. Not always as clear cut as it would be, like, you know, in the US.
Right. Of course not. And listen, let me tell you, I understand. Okay, so let's talk about some little hidden gems. Do you have a favorite local spot or neighborhood that you like to hang out in?
Yeah, I like to hang out in Natinda. There's like a couple of little bars and places here. Not just that, but it's just a really cool side of town. There are things to do. You know, there's I think it's called the Ndiri Center. And, you know, you can go and watch a show. So that's always nice. And that's here in Natinda. And so they have like a live performance like Wednesday and Friday nights. And it's kind of nice. You get a buffet while you watch the show. Really cool cultural place to hang out. There's the, what is it called? It's not Uganda Theater, but I can't remember the name of it now. But anyway, they have also just cool shows. The National Theater is what it's called. And they have just cool shows. So it's kind of like, you know, just cool places around town to hang out. I don't know if there's any one side of town that's better than the other, but they're just cool places around town that you can hang out.
Okay, so let's talk about culture. That's a great segue. That's where it's going next. What's the best time of year, would you say, the best time of year to visit?
I don't know if Uganda has any best time of year. And the reason why I say that is we're right on the equator. So our weather is pretty steady year round. I don't know if there's a real distinct rainy season. And even so, it rains like, you know, maybe for an hour or so, if that much. It might be like 20 minutes of pouring rain and then like a little drizzle. So the rains go, they pass quickly. So your day isn't shot if it's a rainy day. To me, it's always green here. As soon as it starts to get brown, the rains come again and it's green.
You're living in color. It's either brown or green.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So I don't know if there's any real distinct best time of year here. It's, you know, if you're into like gorilla watching, Uganda has wonderful gorilla watching in its parks. We also have climbing lions that Uganda as well boasts, and just good places to hang out around Uganda itself. I was in Ford Portal a few months ago, and I was in one of the communities that has, I think it's like 56 crater lakes, and just sitting on the edge of the lake for the whole day and swimming, and it was just beautiful. It was just like a really, really nice time. And you know, it was just lush greens and everything was just really nice. So in Uganda, I don't know if there's like a distinct best time to come, because to me, it's always green and lush here.
So let's talk culture, like things to do in terms of museums and galleries. Is there a gallery culture?
There's one museum here. There's one big national museum here in Kampala, and it's the Uganda National Museum. There's the Kasubi Tombs, and that's on Kasubi Hill in Kampala. And it's the burial ground of the previous four Kabakas, and the Kabakas are kings.
That sounds interesting. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know so much that there is very much as far as cultural things to really, I don't really want to say that because, you know, there's like the craft market that you can go to. That also holds a lot of culture. That holds a lot of the Ugandan, you know, basket weaving. Basket weaving is a very big cultural thing here. So, you know, there are things like that to do. And going to visit the Kabaka's Palace as well. So the King's Palace.
It's funny you mentioned that because that was one of my questions about shopping, like your favorite places in terms of food and more about the open air markets. Can you touch on that a bit?
Yeah. So for like, when I went home this year, I bought gifts home for my family and I got all my stuff at like the Uganda Craft Market. And that's just right downtown on Kampala Road. So I got a lot of my stuff from there. I like to frequent the smaller shops.
Yes, the local producers.
Yeah, so the local producers. I do try hard to get most of my stuff from there as much as I can. So I got like a lot of skirts and other goodies there. For food, I go to the local market, the Nitinda Market. It's an outdoor market. Lots of fresh fruits and veggies and spices, just whatever you need can pretty much get there. And I love fruits. Mangoes are my favorite. Mangoes and pineapples I always have in my house. That's where I go to shop for things like that.
So touching on the local designers, do you have a favorite?
No, I don't really. Just because, I love to go to the craft market and I don't necessarily know who are the designers or who are the ones that are sewing there. So I don't really have a local designer.
Okay. What about events? I know that things are happening. What about big events, small events? How do you find them? Where do you go? And what's happening?
A lot of events here, cultural as well as international. About once every 3 months or so, there's an international artist that comes in, and it's usually a Jamaican artist. So I'm always happy about that. So at the end of this month, we're going to be having, what's his name now? Taurus Riley. He's the one that sings that Jamaican song, She's Royal.
Okay.
So royal. Yeah, so he's going to be here. There's also the jazz festival that comes once a year. Right now we're in the middle of restaurant week. So, you know, a lot of restaurants are being showcased and just to support for the week. There are, let's see, We have a lot of concerts that happen, jazz concerts. And the Nege Nege Festival is coming up soon. And that's going to be like a 3-day festival in September. Many different artists, a lot of cultural foods, and I mean, just a lot of stuff happening. That's going to be in Jinja. And let me see, what else? I just met a guy from New York this past weekend, and he's here working with a company who they're doing a play at the National Theater. So there's kind of a lot of stuff to be, you know, that you can do here. There's a lot of events.
For visitors, what would you say is a great day trip?
It depends on what you want to do. Going to Jinja, which is another part of Uganda, and going to see the source of the Nile, or to go rafting on the Nile River, bungee jumping. And then, yeah, maybe taking a day trip out to Sese Island. These are some of the things that you can kind of do in a day and come back. Also, going for gorilla trekking. Oh, there's rhino trekking as well. And that's also not very far. You can also do in one day. So, you know, there are quite a few things, especially if you're, you're interested in safari and stuff like that.
Okay, so you have visitors for the weekend. Where are you taking them?
We're definitely going to Jinja. Everybody needs to see the source of the Nile. But also for the rafting as well. Murchison Falls is where you can go for bungee jumping. And that's also a good day trip. Those are always really good ones to do.
What would you say is a faux pas that a visitor should avoid?
What's really interesting, right, is that a lot of places here, you won't find like a washing machine. So you hire somebody to come in and do your laundry for you. Except coming from the West, like a lot of us, you know, we throw our underwears in when we're doing our wash. But here, you can't do that. Like, you don't, it's totally taboo to have like the help washing your underwears and stuff like that. So, you know, that's something that most people kind of have to learn when they come. It's not something that's so evident.
Right, obviously.
And also even just putting your underwears out on the line, you know, I've been told that you must either put like a cloth over it, you know, because you don't want to entice any men that are around. And so that's like a big no-no that a lot of visitors make mistakes about. Being a woman of color, one of the big faux pas here is for me to just, you know, walk around town with my legs hanging out. So I don't wear shorts. I don't wear shorts, you know, short skirts. So things like that, you know, it's about being respectful to the culture. And in Tanzania, I have to say it was even worse, because Tanzania is a predominantly Muslim country. So having all your body parts hanging out was totally frowned upon. And then also just being respectful to the elderly. I call almost every woman I see auntie, even though I'm of no relation to them, you know. I call them auntie, especially if they're older than me. If they're younger, I call them Niabo. And Niabo just kind of mean, you know, lady. Yeah, just showing respect to each other by saying sir and madam all the time.
Growing up in the South, you know, that's what we did. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yeah. Yes, sir. No, sir. So it's okay for me. But a lot of Westerners didn't experience that. So it's why I ask.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're at the end now. Where can listeners find you?
You can find me across all medium at Zuri Medicine. ZURIMEDICINE. So I'm Zuri Medicine on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. If you want to send me email, I'm zurimedicine@gmail.com. Yeah, so, you know, across all mediums, Zuri Medicine.
Do you have a website?
Zurimedicine.com. Okay. Zuri is a Swahili word. It's actually Nzuri, a Swahili word that means good, beautiful. And that's what we do. We make good, beautiful medicine.
Perfect. That's fantastic. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for coming on with me today. I really appreciate hearing your perspective about Uganda and a bit about Tanzania. And I look forward to my own trip. And if you're around, you know, we'll connect.
Yeah.
At some point. So I really appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. Have a good one, Journey.
Okay, thanks for tuning in today. I hope you found this local's perspective informative and even inspiring. If so, please consider subscribing to Loco using iTunes or your favorite Android podcast player. If you have any comments or questions or even a story you'd like to submit, please connect with us at loco.co, that's L-O-C-A-U-X.co. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.